the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, a part of the lectionary for today. And again, a little difficult to understand. It's put in the lectionary, so we'll have to deal with it, I guess. But the last two verses of this parable, these virgins come to the door that didn't have oil and knock and say, "Let us in." And they say, "Can't open the door. I don't know you." And then the admonition to us from verse 13, "Watch therefore." I'm reading from the Amplified. "Watch therefore and give strict attention and be cautious and active, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come." So let's see if we can find some lessons for us here. Kind of a difficult, scary story, I think, about the end of the world. And this parable has been abused by scary preachers who wanted to put fear in people's hearts and say, you know, you could be doing quite a bit and then be locked out at the very end. And this has been a fear-filled altar call for churches that do altar calls about you could be lost. And there's some value in talking about that. But this parable has been used to beat people up and cause them to feel threatened. "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you," is harsh words. So the problems here, let's deal with those first. What's the definition of the kingdom? Matthew 37 times uses the phrase "the kingdom of heaven," where the other gospel writers use "the kingdom of God." And those are used interchangeably. Who are these people with lamps that are waiting on a groom who delays his coming, and they get locked out of the banquet? And I think when Jesus first told this story, his listeners would have understood it better than we do. Here's what happened at weddings. The entire village was invited. You remember Jesus was at a wedding as the site of his first miracle in Cana. And 3 days usually allotted for weddings once the celebration began. And he turned water into wine because they had run out. And he does things with abundance, but the water pots could have varied. The minimum amount he would have turned into wine would have been 120 gallons, and the maximum 180. We know that. That means the party's going to go on for a little while longer, and they're still going to have some left. But everybody was invited to the banquet in the village. You couldn't leave people out. And the bride waited for the groom to show up at her house. The net result was he visited along the way. He left his house ceremonially, and he visited with folks along the way. And then the call would go out, the bridegroom's coming, and the bridesmaids were keeping the bride safe and alert, ready for him to come. And they were at her house. When the call would go out, the bridegroom's coming, they would go out to meet the groom. And they had, if it was daylight, that was fine. But if at night, they had lamps that were lit, go out on the street and bring him on in to where the bride was. We don't do weddings like that today. There's no bridesmaids waiting for the with the bride. There's no oil lamps. And so just simply, this parable is about choices that we make and whether or not we really believe and have faith. You got to make good choices in order to be ready for what's coming. And we have to define the kingdom of heaven and say who the different components of this are. So the application, I'll just go ahead and give you up front, is make good choices and live as though you think Jesus is coming back. Because if you don't, you could be shut out. One Bible scholar calls this the parable of readiness. Be ready for the bridegroom is coming, and he's delayed his coming. The choices we make affect our relationship with the kingdom of heaven. Whether you live as though there is a kingdom of heaven, or you sort of are around it, you're there, but you're really not committed to the deal. Make good choices. This whole story is so rooted in that village setting in Palestine that I do think it's hard for us. So the first application is that when God's kingdom is on earth, it's like people waiting for a groom. The period we're in now is we're waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. And he's delayed his coming. Alvin and I have been talking for a couple of days about the fact that the early church seemed to think he was coming back just any time, when much of the prophecy was about the destruction of Jerusalem, and they took it to be the end of the world. But now 2,000 years have gone by. Most of us grew up in churches, if they said anything at all about the second coming of Christ, they would say he could come any time. He may come before we meet again. My church was very evangelistic, and I always accused the evangelists of burning sulfur in the windows so it'd smell like hell. Telling scary stories. This little girl was out in the woods and this man was deer hunting and he shot and he killed her. Won't you give your heart to Jesus? Most of the stories made no more sense than that. But the funny story, I lived in a little cotton mill town and the shift change was at 10 o'clock at night. And since 1900, when the town was built, they blew the 9 o'clock whistle to signify to everybody in the village you need to come in. You had to be ready for the third shift at 10 o'clock. You actually had to be in place so the others could leave because they didn't shut the looms down and so forth. And so it was a siren that you could hear all over town. That was about the time that long-winded evangelists were making their altar call. And when that siren would go off, so many of them would say, the pastor should have told them, but he didn't, would say, listen to that siren now. Somebody is going to meet their maker tonight, maybe without the Lord. If you walk out those doors tonight, and we all snickered and laughed and didn't go to the altar. But the kingdom of heaven is where a king rules. What would a kingdom be? Be where there's a king. He's supreme and he's in charge. And we're waiting, but we have to remain prepared for his coming, even though the groom along the way has been delaying his coming with other things and visiting with other people, as in this story. So look ahead, make choices that would indicate that you really believe he's coming back. Live as though earth is not home, but live as though you don't really know when Jesus is coming back, and you've got to be prepared for it. Look ahead. The issue is really about, do you believe earth is home or do you believe heaven is your home? Remember the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, I've done that. He said, well, then sell everything you've got and give it to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. And he went away sad because he didn't want to do that. He was interested in the kingdom, but he was not interested enough to believe that it was a real kingdom that was going to come into fruition and he could have a part of it. Live as though earth is not home. Jesus said, he who would save his life will lose it. He would lose his life for my sake will find it. And so if you're trying to get everything in here in earth, then you're missing the point of the kingdom of heaven. And that's the lesson for us. So the village is invited. Even today in Palestine, there's only a general time given for the wedding. I was researching some of this and thought it was interesting because the wedding takes place when the groom arrives. Not you know, the way we do it. It's when the bride walks down the aisle. And I've been standing up here with the groom and his best man and groomsmen and maids of honor. And Denise will come to the door back there and say, which means the bride's not ready. A couple of times in the 1,000 weddings we've done here, it meant that she may not be coming. I don't know whether we've ever had it where one just backed out, but we've had situations where the bride was rethinking it as we went. And she was crying coming down the aisle because she'd been thinking about not coming down the aisle, I guess. Well, it wasn't that way in Palestine. And the bridesmaid's job was to keep the bride company until the groom arrived. And you didn't know whether he was coming during the day or the night. The time was when he got there. Maybe that was just a symbol of how the marriage was going to be. That the groom wasn't very dependable. I don't know. So day or night, you had to have lamps in case it was night. You couldn't be out on the street at night without a lighted lamp. And then when the groom arrives, the wedding celebration begins. It was very rude to not be there when it started. And it was customary to just keep the doors locked. So here are the symbols. The wedding banquet is the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. And we have the marriage supper of the Lamb that we talk about. The bridegroom is Jesus coming back. The time of his coming is unexpected and unknown. And everyone is invited and welcome, and some are prepared and some are not. Martin Luther said that, and probably this is as good as we're going to get. He said the oil was faith. And some have a little faith and they believe enough to hang around, but they don't believe enough to be prepared. I think that would probably be somewhat typical of the church today. There are people who are in church, but they're not living their lives as though it was important to change how they lived. So enough faith to cause you to make choices, to show that you really believe that Jesus is coming back, not tentative, not cautious, like the rich young ruler who, again, he was interested, but not interested enough to make any sacrifices. If Jesus is really coming back, well, it's been a long time. I've been hearing that all my life. I'm not sure he's coming back. We certainly don't know when he's coming back. He's delaying his coming. Do you think he's going to come at all? And do we really need to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust and thieves won't get it? Or should we just live this life as best we can, put a little money in to tip God, spend a little time in prayer and Bible reading? But for the most part, far too many go on as though this life was home. And that's what this parable is attacking. Some have enough faith to add Christianity to their lifestyle. It's kind of like I was talking to a Hebrew in India, to a Hindu in India. And so I said, do you go to temple? And he said, well, they have the Hindu temples, but I'm the temple too. So the tree is the temple that you see there, and this van is the temple. Everything's the temple. So no, I don't go. And I said, well, tell me your relationship to Christianity. He said, Jesus was probably a good teacher. I'm willing to add that. So we've got 32,000 gods. Be glad to add another one. They have three primaries, I guess. But he was just real casual about, sure, if you want me to say I'm a Christian, okay, I'm a Christian. It's not going to make any difference to his life, obviously, and that was the whole point. So does your faith change your lifestyle if you really believe Jesus is coming back? And the oil, if it's faith, you have oil in your lamps, and that's faith, then there's another side of faith, because James says faith without works is dead. It's of no value. And so maybe the oil is how much faith do you have to live your life so you have good works? Because judgment was decided. Remember, Jesus tells stories about, I was sick and hungry and naked and in prison, and you did not visit me. And he shuts the door on them. So there's some parallels there. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light shine before men. We're going back to the lamp at that point. Let your light shine before men, that they can see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so living your faith by what you do having enough faith that you have works that are not in order to be saved, but because you are saved. One of the complex parts of this story is, who are these oil merchants? These five foolish virgins, and this is not a story about virgins, but the five foolish virgins, the five bridesmaids who ran out of oil, went to buy oil from oil merchants. And that's a little perplexing. What are the oil merchants that you could go? If faith is the oil and works are the result of having faith, faith without works is dead, then I guess the oil merchants would be those people you do good things for, that you forgive, that you love, that you help. And when the bridegroom is coming, it's a little late to get involved in saying, I don't have enough of that in my life that I should get in. So you can't buy more good works from the needy at the last minute. The oil of caring and loving and giving and forgiving is the way you live your life every day. And again, I'm not preaching salvation by works, as though you hear me often well know. So fill your lamps with spiritual oil, with how you live, with doing good things for other people, with loving other people, forgiving other people, giving to other people, and laying up treasures in heaven. And you want Jesus to not say, depart from me, I never knew you. The delay is aggravating. I think the early disciples really did think Jesus was coming back any time, and there were things that were going to happen quickly, but they may have misunderstood. But for us, I'm telling you, I grew up in a church that they preached Jesus could come back at any moment, and they were expecting him with the generation of Israel becoming a nation again. This generation would not pass away. They were setting dates as to when this would happen. The Russellites and others had times when Jesus was going to come back. He's delaying his coming. Matthew 24:13 says, he that endures to the end, the same will be saved. And so it's not just you get saved and he takes you, but you live for God while you're here. And these bridesmaids had enough oil if he had come quickly, but they gave up along the way. They didn't have enough to take care of the delay. They were not ready for the delay. They just had enough to get by. So watching for his coming, as our text admonishes us to, is loving God and loving your neighbor while you watch, while you wait. The way you watch is not just sitting looking for signs or doing nothing, but it's an active watching, as our Amplified Version says. So be prepared. Keep the lights on. Tom Baudette could have done this sermon. I'll leave the light on for you, I guess. Let your light shine. Keep doing the things that Christians should do if you don't think heaven is that earth is home, if you believe there's another place. People, just Christians means to be Christ-like. So maybe we shouldn't call them Christians, but a lot of people in churches have just added Jesus a little more directly than a Hindu would, but he's not making any difference in their life. He's not changing how they live or how they spend their time or their energy. Everyone's invited, but there's a delay. And when Jesus comes, you can't borrow that which would light the way from others. Prepare for his coming by faithfully serving Jesus until he comes. This world is not our home. Our text could just have easily been from Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 14th verse says, this world is not our permanent home, but we're looking forward to a home that is to come. So the lesson from a complex parable is you need to be prepared for a delay. Jesus hasn't come back yet. And you need to be living your life as though it's important to recognize this is not home. This is a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes. This is not all there's going to be. I wish we had a video we could show you of a travel log of where we're going, because it's pretty impressive. But we're left here waiting and waiting and waiting. And Jesus is working on us and perfecting that which pertains to us as we go through this life. And I think it's important that we recognize that doing things for Him shows where our hearts are, that we're really committed enough to have fully prepared for the coming of the Lord when He comes. A part of that preparation is communion. And this is the good part of the celebration. It's not your works that save you. It's your faith. Faith without works is dead. That's another sermon. But to have enough faith to believe that what Jesus did at Calvary, and then He told us to keep watch, that He's coming back just as He went away. We have faith in His broken body and His shed blood. Ask Him to keep you vigilant, to keep you watchful until He comes back, as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning. Let's pray.